Now, for the tape, good morning, everybody. Malachim Bet, Perek Yud, Pasuk Lamed. Vayomer Hashem El Yehu. Yaron Asher Hetivota, La'asot HaYashar Be'inai. God said to Yehu, how does God speak to Yehu? Of course, it always means through a prophet. God did not speak directly to Yehu. God doesn't speak directly to anybody, except only one person that God speaks directly to, and that was Moshe Rabbeinu. Never was there a man like Moshe Rabbeinu to whom God spoke panim el panim, face to face, just as man would speak to fellow man. So when it says Vayomer Hashem el Yehu, it means that God spoke to Yehu through a prophet. We are not told which prophet. However, our rabbis tell us it was the same prophet who anointed him. And who was the prophet that anointed him? So all that the pasuk had said over there was that Elisha had sent his Na'ar. Na'ar Hanavi, you remember the one whom they referred to as the Meshuggah? Who was that Na'ar? That Na'ar was Yonah ben Amittai. It is Yonah ben Amittai as well who tells Yehu, Yan Asher Hetivota La'asot HaYashar Be'inai, since you are good to do that which is right in my eyes, Kechol Asher Bilvavi, everything that is with my heart, Osita LeBeit Achav, you did to the house of Achav, my promise to you is, my reward to you will be that B'nei Devi'im Yeshu L'chav Kisei Yisrael. B'nei Devi'im means four generations. Okay. Four generations, B'nei Devi'im, four generations of the house of Yehu are going to be on the throne of Israel. And he's going to have, fact is, four children after him. It will be the longest dynasty in the history of the ten tribes. Achav was four generations. Omri, Achav, Yehoram, and Achaziah. Did I get them right? Since nobody is questioning me, so either I'm right or I just... That's right. For the house of Yehu, for the house of Yehu, because remember, what had Yehu done? Yehu was the one who destroyed the house of... he destroyed the house of Achav, he destroyed the Baal. I just want to point something else out in a moment, but meanwhile, because he did that, and because you did all that was good, that I wanted to the house of Achav, the native Vim, Yeshu Lechal, Kisei Yisrael, those who are children of four generations are going to be kings of the house of Israel. Now, what is fascinating about Yehu, and this is something that we find by none of the other kings, every step of the way, whatever Yehu does, either he or the pasuk says, this is what God wanted. That he is fulfilling, the word of God. Back in Perek Tet, let me just, worthwhile, go back to Perek Tet. Yehu has come to Israel. Yehoram, the king of Israel, is there. Pasuk Chav Dalet, Pasuk 24 in Perek 9. V'yehu mile yodo bakeshet. Yehu filled his hand with the bow. He pulled the bow all the way back. Vayachet Yehoram ben Zeruav, and he smote Yehoram. Yehoram, who is the son of... Of Achav. Yehoram ben Achav, he ben Zeruav, between his arms. Vayetze achetzi milibo. The arrow went out of through his heart, all the way through. Vayichra v'dichbo. Vayomer el bidkar shalisho. He says to his officer, bidkar sohash licheu, cast him down the chelkat sadeh nevot ha'yizveli, ki zechor ani va'ata. You and I remember. Et rotim tzvudim acharei Achav aviv, when we rode together behind his father Achav. Vashem nosa olav et hamasah hazeh. God said this prophecy about him, And now the prophecy is being fulfilled. And Pasuk 26, he repeats the prophecy. Im lo et demei navot ve demei banav. God promises that the blood of Navot and the blood of his children, Ra'iti emesh noam Hashem, I saw last night, says God, v'shilamti lecha b'chelka hazot, I will repay you in this piece of land, v'ata so hashvicheyu b'chelka k'dvar Hashem. Cast him down over there on that piece of land as the word of God. This is the first thing that is done by Yehu, where he invokes the word of God. Later on in that same chapter, Pasuk Lamed, Yehu comes to Yisrael. And it's going to be important also to see how Yezebel conducts herself. Because we're going to have to make a comparison in the chapter we're coming to. Between Yezebel and another queen. Remember, how did Yezebel conduct herself? She pitched herself ice. Huh?
She whored herself.
All right, that's one way. She put on makeup. She made up, put on makeup. So what did he say? He says in Pasuk Lamed Gimel, throw her down. In Pasuk Lamed Dalet, he says, remember this Arura, the accursed one. The accursed one. Ah, and then in Pasuk Lamed Vav, by Yoshuvu, they came back, by Agidulo, and they told him that they found very little of the body of Yezebel. Vayome, Yehu says, Dvar Hashem Hu. This is the word of God. Oh, this is the second thing. The first thing that he did was, he killed Yehoram, the son of Ahav. And he said, that was a fulfillment of the word of God. He kills Yezebel, and he says, that's a fulfillment of the word of God, and he repeats the nevuah. Vayomer dvar Hashem hu. This is the word of God, asher dibe biyad avdo Eliyahu ha-Tishbi, that he said through his servant Eliyahu, bechelek Yisrael yochlu haklavim et besar Yezebel, on a piece of land of Yisrael, the dogs are going to eat the flesh of Yezebel. In chapter 10, that we are coming toward its end, he is the one who destroys the entire house of he causes that the entire house of Ahav be put to death. He's not the one who puts them to death. They are put to death by the elders of Shomron. In Pasuk 10, Pasuk Yud, in Perek Yud, the U Eifo, he says, you should know therefore, ki lo yipol mitvar Hashem arzo, you should know that not a word that God has said will fall to the ground unfulfilled. That which God spoke about the house of Ahav, Hashem also, God has done at Asher Diber Biyad Avdo Elio. God has done that which He said through the hands of His servant Elio. This is the third time that Yehu is making it clear that what has just been done is the fulfillment of the prophecy. All right. Then last week, of course, we learned the story of Yehu and his destruction of the Baal. The famous statement, Achav of Adet HaBaal, Miat Achav served Baal, but little. Yehu Yavdenu Harbe, Yehu is going to serve him in great way. And we learned the whole story of how Yehu fooled the people into thinking, fooled the worshippers of Baal into thinking that he was going to serve Baal, and then he destroyed them all. And this is where we're picking up. Here we are. Pasuk Lamed Vayomer Hashem El Yehu Yan Asher Hetivot Ol Asot Hayashav Einai Kechol Asher Bilvavi Osit Ol Beit Achav Bnei Levim Yeshlucha Al Kisei Yisrael. There are going to be four kings that will follow him: Yehoachaz, Yehoash, Yeravam, and Zechariah. You don't have to remember them now, but you're going to have to remember them later. Vayomer Ahem. Yes. Let me just stop you at this point. I did not conjecture, nor did I guess. I said pshat. Go ahead now, having said that.
In your Torah, we asked you to learn about Yahweh and the challenge of 450. I mean, there are at least 850 in the end of
So what are you, how are you going to, so how are you going to reconcile the fact that all of the Kohanim and all of the worshippers of the Baal fit into this little Baal Shtibel? How do I know it was little? Because Yehu is the one who places 80 men outside, and he tells these 80 men that if anybody flees and survives, it's your life for his life. How unreasonable! Let's be reasonable. A king who has an entire army of hundreds of thousands at his disposal is going to take 80 men, so they'll tell me 80 Schwarzeneggers, 80 Bruce Willises, 80 Sylvester Stallones. How do you like the Bikinis over here, huh? How do you like that? Yeah. Reb Tzvi,
so how do you reconcile it?
Reb Tzvi, I'm going to reconcile it, but I will only reconcile it after you're ready to admit that it's a little far out to say that it was Yankee Stadium whom he has given in the hands of 80 people. As Felter mentioned, he can't put 1,000 people around it. No. The total of 80 people. A total of 80 people. It said 80 people. They went out afterwards to destroy the Matzvot HaPal. All right. Huh? You're with him. You're with him.
Well, I based on something else.
No, no, let me at least reconcile. You should... All right, okay. Step three, we're going to go further. I'm gonna, no, on what you're saying. I have to make the point because the point is too important. The point is much too important. Because as we said last week, this point is the one that's going to make the difference how you're going to learn all of Tanakh. Are you going to learn all of Tanakh? The Jews throughout Eretz Yisrael for 800-900 years were overwhelmingly Ovdei Avodah Zarah or not. It's going to make a difference how you're going to understand the words of the Nevi'im. And by, remind me to get back to that. I mean, I went through many chapters in Yechezkel. Avodah Zarah by the Nevi'im. When the Nevi'im talk about idolatry, there are two things that they have in mind. And I can prove this from Yeshayahu, Yirmiyahu, Yechezkel. There is idolatry, which is the real thing. A man simply gets down on his knees before a gadget. There are other forms of idolatry. If I'll take you 3,000 years ahead, I believe it was the Akedat Yitzchak who wrote on the... Asteret HaDivrot, it says, Lo yiyeh lecha lehim achedim alponai, there shall be no other gods before me. The second of the Ten Commandments. The first is, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I'm God, your God. Lo yiyeh lecha lehim achedim alponai, there shall be no other gods before you. So the Akedat Yitzchak says, what are you talking about? Where is there idolatry in the world anymore? Are we to assume that one of the Asteret HaDivrot simply doesn't apply anymore? So he says, no. There are all sorts of forms of idol worship. And what he points out, strangely enough, that in his day, that was about 300-400 years ago at least, he says the idol that is worshipped by men is money. And when it says, Lo yiyeh lecha lehim acherim alponai, there shall be no other, Elohim means power. There shall be no other power to whom you bow down to. So there was the idol of Mammon. I can prove to you from Yeshayahu, Yirmiyahu, and Yechezkel, when they talk about idolatry, do you know what they're referring to? Treaties that were entered into between the kings and either to join with Ashur, hands with Ashur, against Mitzrayim, or Mitzrayim against Ashur. And I'm going to read for you, Pesukim. When Yirmiyahu is, or Yechezkel is talking about not serving anybody else, anything that diminishes the reliance of Klal Yisrael on the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is considered idolatry. You don't think that I can save you? What they should have had on their chariots were bumper stickers that said, Ein lanu al mi lehi sha'ein, ela al avinu shav ha-shamayim, the only one upon whom we will place our trust is on God. When you go running and you make alliances with other people, this is a form of idol worship. That's what the Navi is talking about. In terms of how many Jews there were that Pashut got down on their knees before a Geshke, we're not as stupid people. I don't know, today I'm not so sure anymore. But throughout history, we're not as stupid people. So I'm telling you the following. From the story of Yehu, what we learn is that in terms of real Avodah Zarah, really bowing down to gods of gold and silver and wood, it was always a very, very small minority. And even then, when the Navi talks in broad terms about the Jewish people serving idols, it's because the man in the street was disinterested. In other words, we carry responsibility also. If I'm living in Eretz Yisrael while there's idolatry in Eretz Yisrael and I do nothing about it, I become an accessory after the fact. If Klal Yisrael in its masses would have stood up and said, we want this out, it wouldn't have been. And we talked in another shiur, a few weeks ago, we talked about the how should it be working if I didn't turn it on? Because I don't want to use my voice. We talked, and I'll only say it briefly because this was a shiur that I said about a month or 6 weeks ago, and it's related to Parashat Ki Tisa. Moshe Rabbeinu comes down from the mountain, he sees that there are out of 3 million Jews, do you know how many worship the Egel? 3,000. What's the percentage? Point 001. 3,000 Jews worship the Egel. What did Rabbeinu Shem tell Moshe on the mountain? Lech reid, go down, ki shiches amcha, your people. What do you mean, your people? Moshe Rabbeinu, when he comes down from the bottom of the mountain, to the bottom of the mountain, should have turned to Rabbeinu Shem and told him, Rabbeinu Shem, what are you talking about? 0.001% of Klal Yisrael have served an Egel, and you tell me, Lech reid, go down because your people are corrupted. What are you talking about? Give me a break. Not only doesn't Moshe Rabbeinu do that, after he executes the 3,000 Ovdei HaEgel, he turns to God, he turns to the people and he says to them, I'm going up to the mountain in order to ask God for forgiveness. Chata ha'am hazeh chata'a gedola, this nation has sinned a great sin. What's he talking about? How can Moshe Rabbeinu himself say, Chata ha'am hazeh chata'a gedola? Especially after he has already punished the worshippers of the Egel. They're gone. How does Moshe Rabbeinu say, Ona chata ha'am hazeh chata'a gedola? So what we explained, and we showed the same word structure in a number of the stories here, there is chait and chata'a. The difference between chait and chata'a is a sin of commission. I do something bad, that's a chait. The sin of omission, if I remain silent or indifferent when others are sinning, that's a chata'a. And therefore Moshe Rabbeinu turns to Klal Yisrael, who are all innocent of worshipping the Egel, and he says to them, Ono, Chata ha'am hazeh, this people has sinned, chata agedola. So we have to be able, just as by the story of the Egel, we have to differentiate between those who in fact worship the Egel, and those who didn't worship it at all, but there is still a kind of stain upon them. The stain that they permitted it to happen, or they didn't care. The same thing is true throughout all of the period of the Tanakh.
You said it's 4%.
It's a good question, but I'm not going to deal with it, because that's totally not germane to what we're saying. The fact is that the Pasuk says there were 3,000. That's a separate shear. The Mephoshim talk about that. That's fine. It's a very good question. But that's not what we have to deal with over here. The fact remains the fact that there are 3 million Jews at the foothills of Sinai and 3,000 worshippers. The number 3,000 I didn't make up. The number 3,000 is right there in the Pasuk. So you have a good discussion. The Mephoshim deal with it. No question about it. But do you see already the proportions? Do you understand that when the Rebbe says the people has sinned, it doesn't necessarily mean that everybody has bowed down? The same thing is true with Avodah Zarah during the entire period of Bayit Rishon. It was always a very small number of Jews who worshipped. And it was not Yankee Stadium. It was nothing more than a shtiebel of Baal. So the problem was, what about the rest of the people? Two sins the rest of the people sinned. Sin number one, they were indifferent. They should have been standing there. I'm certain that the women in green would have been standing and demonstrating in front of the Beis Habal. That's number one. And number two, the term Avodah Zarah as used by the Nevi'im, idol worship as used by the Nevi'im, applies to something of a completely different nature. And that is treaties that were entered into by Klal Yisrael with the neighboring nations. Let me...
Why is that a practical thing?
No, it depends. It's a practical thing only if you know that the Rebbeinu Shem is going to save us and we're entering into this agreement. But they believed that their Yeshua was going to come from Mitzrayim. I'm going to start reading the Nevi'im for you. No, sit back. No, sorry. I'm not going to let you get away with this. Yeshayahu. I'm just going to pick as they come. Yeshayahu. Chapter Lamed. Where does Chapter Lamed begin? Hoy bonim sodet him, Noam Hashem. Woe you rebellious son, says God. Lasot eitzah. You take counsel, the lo mi ni, and it's not from me. The linsoch masecha, you appoint officers, the lo ruchi, and it's not according to my spirit. Leman sfot chatos al chatos, you add sin upon sin. What is the counsel that they take? Ha holchim laded et Mitzrayim, those who go down to Egypt. Ufilo sho'alu, they didn't ask me whether they should go to Mitzrayim. La oz de ma'oz paro, to have the strength and the fortification of paro. The lachasot betzeil Mitzrayim, and to find shade under the cover of Mitzrayim. Go talk to Mubarak, who wouldn't set foot over here in this country until the Jew was killed. All right? V'hoyolachem, says Yeshayo, v'hoyolachem ma'oz paro leboshet. The strength, the might of paro is going to be a source of embarrassment to you. V'hechosut betzeil Mitzrayim, and coming under the cover of Egypt is going to be lechlima. It's going to be a shame and an embarrassment. Bishus, chapis and bishus. All right. Al'am lo yo'il, what else do you want? Oh, okay. I mean, I'm ready to read all of the psukim over here. I'll give you more. Yirmiyahu, chapter 2. Shimun Dvar Hashem Beis Yaakov, V'chol Mishpachot Beit Yisrael. Hear the word of God, the house of Yaakov, and all of the families of Beit Yisrael. Kol Hashem. So says God. Ma motzu avotechem biyovel. What did your fathers find that's wrong with me? Ki rochaku me'olai. They have distanced themselves from me. Vayelchu acharei ha'hevel. They went after nothing. Vayehebolu, when they became nothing. V'lo amru. They didn't say, Ayeh Hashem, where is God? Hamalel tanu me'eretz Mitzrayim, who brought us up out of the land of Egypt. Hamalicha otanu b'mibba. Why didn't they think about the God who took them through the desert? Be'eretz harava v'shukha. A land of dryness and arid bed. It's sea of its alavas. A land of desert and the shadow of death. Be'eretz lo'av v'ish. A land through where nobody went through. V'lo yoshav adam sham. You needed help. Why did you abandon me? Ivru iyekitim. Go to the islands of the Kitim Uruhu and see the Kedar Shilchu Vidbonu Numil. Send messengers to Kedar.
Hein Hoytokosot, was there ever anything of this sort? Hahemir Goyelohim, has a people ever traded in their God for what? Vehemalohim, for those that are not their God? Va'ami, and my people, Hainir Kivoto, has traded in his honor for a lo yo il. Remember the word lo yo il. Watch. Shomu shamayim alzos. That's where the expression comes from. Shomu shamayim alzos. Chachmanin etzlan. Ki shtayim ros osu ami. My people have done two things that's evil. Oti hazvu. They've forsaken me. Mekor mayim chayim, the source of living waters. And they went to dig for themselves wells, but you know what kind of wells they dug for them? Wells that don't hold water. What's he talking about? What is Yirmiyahu talking about? So you know what he's... So he says immediately what he's talking about. V'ata, malach l'derech Mitzrayim. What are you doing on the road to Egypt? Lishtot meishichar, to drink from the waters of the Nile. U'malach l'derech Ashur. What are you doing going to Ashur? Lishtot meinahar, to drink from the waters of the river. The Euphrates. That's what he's talking about. You have forsaken me by virtue of the fact that you've placed your trust in somebody else, in a man of flesh and blood. That's a form of idolatry. If I believe that my money is going to save me and protect me, that's idolatry. Anything that takes a person away from total and complete reliance on the Rebbe Shem is idolatry. Just as I pointed out last week, when the Navi talks about blood flowing freely through the streets of Yerushalayim, you start to think Jews were just killing one another in the streets of Yerushalayim. They were doing what they're doing today. You leaked information to the press, you were mevaza people, you were mevayish people, you destroyed their reputations. That's murder! So I did, Yishayahu. By the way, I told you, Yirmiyahu over here talks about you traded me in for lo yo il, somebody who is of no use. You know who the lo yo il is? You think that the lo yo il is some idol. No. So that parrot that I was reading from Yishayahu. So you know what Yishayahu says? You know, you went down to Mitzrayim. Kol hivish, you're all going to be embarrassed. You know why? Al am lo yo ilu lamo. You've placed your trust in a people that I'm not going to help you. Lola Azer, the Lola Hoel, they're not going to exist. They're going to be of no value. A people, Klal Yisrael, who turns for aid and assistance and thinks that Clinton that helped him or the Mubarak that helped him. Well, you know what's even worse? We're being punished because we thought Netanyahu Tovla Yehudim. The only one that's Tovla Yehudim is the Rebbeinu Shlomo.
Rabbi Gold, you always thought that you can't just
have it. There's the flip side of that. The flip side of that is when I place all my trust in fellow man and I forget God. That's the whole point.
So do we know these Jews
who
pretend to be the
God? Yishayahu is saying it. Yirmiyahu is saying it. I'll read it to you from Yechezkel.
Yishayahu and Yirmiyahu were certainly the host that these foreign alliances, but they're also very
big. I'm telling you, that's why you need me. That's why you need me. I'm telling you. Here.
I hear what he said, but I agree.
Yes.
When you consider that all the cultures surrounding Israel.
What I'm going to do? To each one of these questions, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to read a few psukim from a different novel. How do you like that? Yirmiyahu. Just listen to a few psukim. Hashem Uzi, this not right now. I'm Jeremiah. I'm going to go to Yechezkel right here. Yirmiyahu, Hashem Uzi Umozi. God is my might and my strength. Uminusi, and the one to whom I flee beyond Zorah on a day of trouble. Elecho Goyim Yavoyu Meyas, the arts, nations of the world are going to come to you from the very ends of the earth. The Yomru, and you know what they're going to say? Ach Sheker Nachalu Avoteinu. You know what the nations of the world are going to tell the Jewish people? Our fathers gave us an inheritance of Sheker.
Hebel. The Ein Bom Mo'il. They are nothing and they can't help. Where were the words Hevel and Ein Bom Mo'il used both by Yirmiyahu and Yeshayahu when he talked about Mitzrayim, placing their trust in Mitzrayim? Not good enough for you. Wait, watch. Just hang in over there. Ko'amar Hashem. So says God. Orur HaGever Asher Yiftar Ba'adam. Cursed is the man who's going to place his trust in fellow men. V'sam Bosor Zero'o. His might is his flesh, his muscles. In other words, not only accursed is the man who places his trust in a fellow man, but accursed is the man who places his trust in himself. Min Hashem Yasur Libo, and from God his heart turns away, because he thinks that he's the balabas of his own life. Oh, again, Ko Omar Hashem. Orur Hagebel Asher Yiftach Ba'adam V'Som Basozeroo U'Min Hashem Yosuli. Baruch Hagever, blessed is the man. Saying Baruch Hagever is enough reason already for me to be hauled before the Bagatz, you understand? Baruch Hagever, I'll say it again. I said it a few weeks ago. There is a day will come when the Rebbeinu Shem is going to punish every one of those people, you understand, on the radio, who will always refer to Goldstein as Harotzeach Goldstein. Harotzeach Goldstein. But Arafat? Never. Baruch HaGever Asher Yiftach B'Hashem, blessed is the man who places his trust in God, V'hoyo Hashem Mivtacho, and God is his fortress. Yecheskel, I told you I'd give you Yecheskel. By the way, in each one of them, in Yeshayahu and Yirmiyahu, I can give you hundreds of sukkim. I'm not giving you single ones. I'm proving that when the Navi talks about Avodah Zarah, he's not talking about Jews who are bowing down on their knees, rubbing them out before Gedgius. That's the point that I want to make. So you know what? I want you to prove something to me. You prove to me that that building was Yankee Stadium. Prove to me it was Yankee Stadium. In the psukim, I'm proving to you that it was a shtiebel because he placed 80 men as Feltem. If he doesn't have enough men, he has an army of hundreds of thousands. He places 80 men outside over there. And I'm ready to agree with you, yes, that it's Stallone and Bruce Willis and Schwarzenegger, so that each one of the 80 can kill 10 people. So there are 800 over there about. All right, how much more can I be? How much gooder can I be? You know what the pshat is? Don't you understand? The Nevi'ah HaBaal didn't have followers. You think that each one of the Nevi'ah HaBaal had a kehillah, a congregation, and he had thousands. They were Nevi'ah HaBaal without followers.
But they must have represented a very important class in society. Otherwise...
It certainly is. That was,
they were eating at Isabel's table.
Because she was an idolatress. She was a shiksa. She was the daughter of the king of Tsar.
Yes, but...
She wasn't a Bizank of Maidala.
But I'm saying that since, as Lillian said, since all around them...
Incidentally, the fashionable circles... Do they necessarily represent what's happening by the man in the street? I would certainly hope that most British families have more goyish nachas from their children than Queen Elizabeth does. You understand? Because if every goyish family would be like the royal family, England, not only would the sun be setting over England, England would have disintegrated as a society. Does she have nachas from any one of her children? What took place in the royal house never represented what was going on in the average home. There are challenges and temptations that come with royalty. Let me go one step further. There is one chapter of Yechezkel where the halacha says, Ein maftir, and you can't use that chapter as a haftorah. That's chapter
16. And there was somebody once, the Gemara in Megillah says, that there was somebody, chapter 16 of Yechezkel, Tet Zayin. I'll read to you the first the sentence so you'll know why. By Hivdar Hashem Elai Leimor, the word of God came to me so saying, Ben Adam, son of man, Hodai et Yerushalayim et Toavotera. Tell Yerushalayim her abominations. So the Gemara says, this cannot be used as a Haftarah. And there were times in the early years of Haftarahs, people were able to choose their own. And it says, the Gemara says that somebody once went over in Shul, and he read chapter 16 as the Haftarah. It's 16 in Yechezkel. One of the Chachamim who was present there said, check out this man's background. And you know what? They checked out his background and they found there were a whole bunch of skeletons, biological skeletons in the closet. Wasn't so kosher. Because the Gemara says, before you start talking about the abominations of Yerushalayim, go watch, go look, take care of your own house. In other words, Chazal, though this is a chapter in Yechezkel, but in public to go read a frontal attack on Yerushalayim, shashtil. Can't do that. Can't do that. This happens to be one of the longest chapters in Yechezkel. 63 psukim. Okay. It's a beautiful chapter. Part of this chapter, one of the great psukim of this chapter, is central to the Haggadah of Pesach, where it says, Revovo kitzemach hasadin et haticha in Mitzchayim, I made you as many as the grass of the field. We say it by a bris also. God says, I passed over you, and I saw you midboseset b'damayach. I saw you wallowing in your blood. And I said to you, b'damayach chayi, in your blood you will live, in your blood you will live. And Chazal tell us, the blood of Milah, Jews circumcise themselves, and the blood of Karban Pesach. What is all of chapter 16 about? 16 describes a little baby, a baby girl, who's been abandoned out in the field after birth. The umbilical cord was hardly cut off, it's still there, all dirty, hasn't been diapered. And God passes over and he sees this little child in the field, and he washes, and he cleans, and he diapers, and he places oil upon the baby. He takes care of the baby, and then the baby grows up, and she becomes a very, very beautiful woman. And the Rabbeinu Shalom gives her diamonds and jewelry and beautiful clothing. And then you know what she does with all of the gifts? She gives it to her lovers. And what begins is a whole process of her, you know, the kind of word Dina Goodman would use that I couldn't use, all right? And she's going and she's spreading herself open. It's a legitimate word, yeah. I just want to start out with you. It's so good to start out with you. And there what she does is, she goes and takes all of the beautiful gifts and garments and clothing that God has given her, and she gives it out to her lovers. To her lovers. And it's talking about znus.
Harlotry.
Harlotry. Harlotry. Okay? Harlotry, that's a good word. What's he talking about? Who are the lovers? You know who the lovers are? The nations around. And he mentions them by name. He's been talking for a whole chapter. He's been talking about come after other powers. And then Yechezkel becomes very clear. They have placed their trust either in Ashur or Mitzrayim or Plishtim or Kittim or Aravim. Let me read some of these books. And this is the chapter that dare not be read in Shul. First it talks about the fact that they had built altars on all of the streets. And then the Navi says, Vatizni el b'nei Mitzrayim Shcheinayach. You committed harlotry with the sons of Mitzrayim, your neighbors. You angered me with your harlotry. And then you go to Benos Plishtim. You committed harlotry with Bnei Asher. You went to the people of Eretz Canaan. Kazdima, to the Kazdim. He goes through all the nations of the Middle East. And he says, by virtue of the fact that you entered into all sorts of relationships with those nations of the world, you placed your trust in them. That's idolatry. Before saying, anybody who is familiar with what the Nevi'im are saying, I believe that it should be absolutely clear that the number of real idol worshippers managed by Klal Yisrael, an infinitesimal small amount, but idolatry has a much broader meaning. Yes. Even Moshe Rabbeinu says, Gemara says, Kesef v'zov shehirbeit alehem, the gold and the silver that you gave to them, that's what caused them to stray. So what straying do gold and silver cause? You know what straying they cause? An over-reliance on one's own ability to take care of himself. That is idolatry. Israel has to understand everything is Me'et Hashem. And therefore I'm not really the balabos of my own life. This is what Yeshayahu, Yirmiyahu, Yecheskel, I can take you through.
What are you up to now?
The last chapter in Sefer Hosea, which is the Haftorah for Shabbos Shuvah, we're talking about doing tshuva. Listen to what the Navi says. Shuvah Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha. Israel, return to God your God, because you have stumbled as a result of your sin. Take words with you. The Shuvu El Hashem and return to God. Imru Elov. Say to him, Kol Tisavon V'Kachtov, forgive our sins. Unashama Padim Svaseino. We're going to, with sacrifices, we will pay for our sins. What's the big sin? A Hosea that's been talking about Avodah Zarah from the beginning of that. You know what? Do you know what God wants Klal Yisrael to stand up before him and say? This is the pasuk. Ashur lo yoshienu. Ashur is not going to save us. Al sus lo nirkov. We're not going to ride on a horse. You know what we're not going to ride on a horse means? We're not going to depend on Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is called sus because horses came from Mitzrayim. Now listen to the pasuk. V'lo nomar od Eloheinu l'ma'aseh yodeinu. We're no longer going to say that the work of our hand is our God. Throughout the Navi, how does the Navi refer to idols? Something that's made by my hands. You worship that which you made with your hands? That's only its limited meaning. Its broader meaning is whenever I depend or trust or, God forbid, place my faith in that which I've made with my own hands, that's idolatry. And what must the Jew believe? Asher v'cho yerucham yatom. The end of the pasuk is, the Yasom is going to find, the helpless one is going to find mercy and compassion and pity only from you. I know the sentences that follow. You can read whatever you want. You can read whatever you want. For any sentence you're going to tell me, I'm going to give you 50 words in the Nevi'im. So therefore, I didn't say there were no Jews who prayed to idols. I say, yes, there were Jews who prayed to idols. But the number that prayed to idols was a great deal less than 1%. And therefore, if you read the Tanakh and you think that throughout all of the 952 years from the time that Yahushua came into Eretz Israel until the destruction of the temple, Jews had rubbed out millions of pairs of pants bowing before idols, I'm telling you, you're making a terrible mistake. You're not reading the Navi correctly. The number that bowed down for idols was 0.0001%. But the ones that worshipped idols in the broader context of idolatry, there were many. And let's not kid ourselves. In that respect, we have extent. To what extent do we really feel? Ein lanu al milihi sha'ein el avinu shavashamayim. To what extent do we really believe that? Didn't we believe that we're going to protest and we're going to stand out in the streets and we're going to demonstrate and we're going to send letters and we're going to go to the ballot boxes? Yes, but I'm telling you that there are people who think that they help. And you lose that sense of Ein lanu al milihi sha'ein el avinu shavashamayim. We're normal people, that's the way it is. We think that we went into the ballot boxes, we thought we're going to strike a blow. Sure we're from, and sure we say Tillim, and sure we say Desiata Dishmai, and sure we say Be'ezras Hashem. But deep in our hearts, we have to take a look at ourselves honestly. Don't we think, you know, this guy, we're going to bring down this guy Netanyahu, hurrah la Yehudim. It's very difficult to have a real, pure sense of bitachon. Bitachon is not that easy. Talk about placing their faith in God. My classic story, I'll tell you my classic story. I was giving a shiur, you know, this must be 10 years ago. 10 years ago. And, the idea of bitachon came up, you know. And as you said, but in addition to bitachon, we need soldiers, you know. Bitachon isn't going to help if I don't have soldiers and I don't have an army. So some yeshiva racha was present at the shiur and he said, what are you talking about? You think the army saved Klal Yisrael in the Yom Kippur War? My yeshiva is safe. He went into his office and he said to him. So I said to him, and when your Rosh Hashiva needs money to support the yeshiva, does he go into his office and say Tillim? Or does he get onto the first plane to New York? There was a deafening, deadly silence that came over the room. You know, occasionally you're zeichet to know the one-liner that's going to end it all. All right, that was the one-liner. That was Siyata Dishmaya, yes. Very good, that was Siyata Dishmaya. Just one moment. No, I can't. Leah hasn't been here in a long time, and she wants to ask a question. I'm going to be fair.
You're so advanced, but the ideal, according to your reasoning, the ideal is to be like the
Torah. Never said that. Never, ever. Anybody who's been coming to anybody who's been you're right. She's been away too long. She forgot what our oh she did. But to think, to say, to feel, kochi v'otzem yadi, that my strength and my might and my intellect and my intelligence and my demonstrating and my voting is going to save Klal Yisrael, is a terrible, terrible mistake. It's a form of idolatry.
So what should you do?
I don't know. We have to become frummer, that's all.
Excuse me.
Yeah, go ahead.
There is no such thing as one or the other. I mean, you have to do what you have to do.
You have a responsibility to do what you do.
The whole while thinking.
Exactly.
It will only work if God helps.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Reb Tzvi, I'm going to rest my case. Were you here last week?
Yeah.
You were here last week, that's right. How are you going to explain the pasuk in chapter 7 in Yehoshua? Choto Yisrael, v'gam ovru es brisi yashet zivisi osam, gam gonvu, gam kichashu, gam somu v'chleim. How are you going to read that pasuk? Where the Rabbeinu Shalom, God Almighty Himself, accuses an entire people of lying, cheating, stealing, breaking the covenant, and only one person did it. How do you read it? It's alright, I can leave it as a rhetorical question. No, there's something to learn from it. What learns from what we... Right, which means, therefore, that maybe 80 people were idolaters in the days of Achav, and Kol Yisrael, Achaven Zevazen, means that the rest of Kol Yisrael carries a degree of guilt because we didn't uproot that from Kol Yisrael. Exactly. It wasn't Yankee Stadium. It wasn't Yankee Stadium.
Didn't this week, but if you just can, if they bring it into the
see, why do you insist on not being the Lamed Zchus on Klal Yisrael? Why does it make you happier to believe? Why does it make you happier to believe that Taka Jews were bowing down all over the place? Baal, Ashtaros, Kemosh, and all of the rest. Ah, but what happens if there is a very logical option? That's an unfair question. In other words, if I'll tell you that some other Gadol B'Yisrael learns like me, that's okay. But I want you to be able to judge what I'm saying on its merits. Why? What am I? I'm a little... I'm chopped liver, right? What am I? I'm chopped. All right, so then I'll ask you. You're saying, Ein mikra yotze midei pshuto, so I'm going to read for you again the pasuk, Choto Yisrael, v'kam ofres brisi, ashetzi visi osam. Every Jew sinned, God said. Is God a filthy, dirty liar? He said, Choto Yisrael, v'kam ofres brisi, ashetzi visi osam. Ein mikra yotze midei pshuto. What does Choto Yisrael? You're the one that says Ein mikra yotze midei pshuto. What does Choto Yisrael mean? V'kam gonvu, v'kam kichosu, v'kam solu b'chleim. Ein mikra yotze midei pshuto. And the plural is Yisrael. So what are you going to do with your Ein mikra yotze midei pshuto?
Is that my own tachumish?
Ein mikra yotze midei pshuto. That's a very good question if it applies to Navi as well. Because if you'll recall, I told you last week that on the basis of this pasuk, the Alshech and the Vilna Gaon say that the purpose of the Nevi'im always was to take the sin and place it under a magnifying glass. They magnified the sins. That's how you give Musa. You give Musa by telling people, Nebuch, what you've done, it's so terrible. How then do you give Musa? Isn't Musa always like that? That you have to understand the full extent of the evil that you have done. All right, I rest my case. I rest my case. Anybody who wants to accept it, God bless you. And anybody who doesn't want to accept it, it's at their own risk. It means, of course, that you're going to have to learn that Jews were such an ugly, heathen, and pagan people at a time that the Divine Presence rested in Eretz Yisrael. We were an ugly, pagan, and heathen people. Lo yal al adat. It simply makes absolutely no sense. And the fact is, just stick with me, those of you who have the stick-to-itiveness, Mirz Hashem, after we have finished Malachim, I'll take you through Yeshayahu, Yirmiyahu, Yecheskel. You're going to see that it's going to be impossible to learn the Nevi'im in any way other than the one that I said. Otherwise, we're going to be saying, listen, Zaydis, that they were so evil. What are you talking about? We're living in a Gan Eden over here today. It wasn't so. It was never so. It was never so.
Why do we have that feeling? Like,
why do you have... You know why you have that feeling? You know why you have that feeling? You have that feeling because chances are... Our first being exposed to Tanakh was as children, and we never came back to it again until we joined the Jerusalem College for Adults in later life, in senior life. All right, you know, I'm going to go all the way. No, but meanwhile, I will have taken you through Yeshayahu, Yirmiyahu, Yecheskel, and Hosea. Why indeed were Jews exiled from Eretz Yisrael? What ultimately was the reason why they were exiled?
Because they hated each other.
Sinat Chinam was the second Beis HaMikdash. Don't get your Beis HaMikdash mixed up. The first Beis HaMikdash, Chazal say, Gil Yadayis HaVeidah Zahra and Shvichas Damin. It's not what Yirmiyahu says. You know what Yirmiyahu says? Chapter 34. Because there were Jews in Yerushalayim who had Jewish slaves. And the Rebbeinu Shlomo says, for that, you're going off into exile.
chapter 34 in Yom Yom. I didn't make it up. We even learned it a few weeks ago. I'm going to tell you something else. 34. All my pages are stuck together. That's what happened over here. 9/11. By the Shuvah Afekim, by Yeshua Zalman, by Yidvar Hashem, by Yom Yit Hashem, Korah Hashem, the Kesah. Believe me, that it says at the end over there, I'm in chapter 34 in Yirmiyahu, beginning with Pasuk 12. 12, 13, 14. Yes, it's a big deal. No, what's a Pasuk between friends? I mean, yeah, you're right. The fact is, you have to look at Pasuk 17. Lachem ko amar Hashem. So says God, Atem lo shamatem elai likror dror ish li'okim v'ish l'reyeyu. You have not listened to free your brother and your friend. Hineni korei lochem dror, I'm going to make you free and open to the whole world. El hacheret, el hadever, el harov, v'natati etchem l'zva'a b'chol mamlechot ha'aretz. It goes on and on and on. I'm going to make one further statement. You know, I've lost my... I don't know what happened to my watch. I'm going to make one further statement. And I say, in order to understand any part of Tanakh, one has to know it all. There's no other way. There's no easy way. There's no simple way to know Tanakh. And when you take all of the impressions of Tanakh together, I mean, I know what I'm telling you now. I know what I'm telling you is, trust me. I'm not saying have faith in me. You know what? I'm not even saying have trust. Have confidence in me. Have confidence in me. That the pshat that I'm saying, my look at Tanakh is correct. That's all I'm saying. I first heard this description or this dramatization of the story of Yehu. I heard it from a Rebbe when I was 19 or 20, Rabbi David Krongler, Zeichet Tzadik Levracha. He was the Mashgiach of the Yeshiva in Baltimore, a very big Tzadik. And I felt that I was standing there. I mean, I think that I've improved on the dramatization over the years. And I Mamish, I hear in my mind, I hear Chota Yisrael, Gam Ovru El Brisi, the way he said that pasuk in chapter 7 of Yahushua. And then once you know the general rule, then you look at different psukim, and they just keep enforcing it. In other words, all of the psukim that I demonstrate that when the Nevi'im were talking about Aveda Zarah, they were really talking about having entered into treaties in covenants with other people, which was a form of Avodah Zarah. This is already my own reading of Tanakh. Once you have the key, then you look at Pesukim in a completely different way. You will find all sorts of associations. I'm not sure I can go through Tanakh all over the place. And the fact is, the same mistakes that were made during the period of the first Beit HaMikdash, Jews made the same mistake during the period of Bayit Sheni. And I'm afraid to make the next statement. The Ramban says that we brought about Churban Bayit Sheni ourselves because we invited Rome into the country. And the end was that Rome destroyed it. We invited them in. During the civil war between Hyrcanus and Aristobulus, the last two members of the house of the Hasmonaim, so one of the brothers called for aid and assistance. He called Rome to his side, gave Rome a hold in the country, and that hold that we gave them in the country brought about the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash some 60, 70 years later. We're giving them a country, Rachman, in its lung. It's unbelievable. What time is it? 10:15. And I was up at 5 o'clock in this morning, sick, mind you. I'm sick. And I prepared the whole next chapter with all sorts of things that I haven't said anything. It's all right. It's all right. But even more. Even when we quote Mamorei Chazal, Mamorei Chazal are misunderstood. For example, there was the Maimei Chazal over here at Sinat Chinam, that the second Beit HaMikdash was destroyed because of Sinat Chinam. I'm opposed to Sinat Chinam, by the way. I think it's a terrible, terrible thing. Don't get me wrong. But if you're talking historically, what indeed brought about the destruction of the second Beit HaMikdash? So a few years ago, I said a shir, what indeed brought about the destruction of the second Beit HaMikdash? So first we have the Ramban. The Ramban said because we invited the enemy into our midst. Came in as a friend, came in as an ally, and we gave them a foothold that you gave them a foothold, they took the hand. The Ramban, in a great letter of his, says, do you know why the second Beit HaMikdash was destroyed? Because we involved ourselves with nonsense and we didn't build up a strong standing army. The Rambam! Not Sinas Chinam! We didn't build up an army! Resh Lakish says, do you know why the second Beit HaMikdash was destroyed? Because the Jews of Babel didn't come on Aliyah. Would we have had another million Jews in Eretz Yisrael, the second Beit HaMikdash would never have been destroyed. Rabbi Yochanan! There, I'm having my senior moment. The fourth one today, but Rabbi Yochanan has a different reason. So, you know, I'll just go home, cry until I find Rabbi Yochanan again.
No, you'll think of it on the plane.
Then I'll know it as soon as class is over. Rabbi Yochanan has another approach. What about the Ramban and the Rambam and Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish didn't know what we all know over here, that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam? They didn't know it. And we're all smart over here. We know it all. So you have to understand, when you hear terms, you have to understand what they mean. We're talking about two different things. One is the loss of our independence. A number of things happened by Churban Bayit. Number one, we lost our independence. We were no longer an independent people, we became a vassal state of Rome. Number two, Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. Number three, Yerushalayim was razed to the ground, the capital city that was destroyed to the ground. Three different things happened, and there were different reasons for each one, and you can't confuse one with the other. Our loss of independence was because Jews didn't come on Aliyah, because we didn't learn how to fight, because we invited Rome into Eretz Israel. Yerushalayim, you know why Yerushalayim was razed to the ground? Yerushalayim was razed to the ground, the Gemara in Shabbos says, 14 different reasons. Al shalo shomru es haShabbos. They didn't keep Shabbos. Hayu mevazen tamidei chachamim. They embarrassed tamidei chachamim in the streets of Yerushalayim. They were mevatel Torah of Tinokos shel Beis Rabban. They didn't do business with honesty. I mean, the Gemara goes on, 14 different reasons why Yerushalayim was destroyed. In other words, you can take away somebody's independence, but it doesn't mean that you burn their capital city down to the ground. Even the German general who was given orders by Hitler to destroy Paris couldn't do it at the last moment. He didn't want to go down in history as the one who destroyed all of the treasures and the art of the Louvre and the Le Tour de Eiffel. But nobody cared about trying to destroy Le Mur de l'Alimentation. She's laughing at me. I don't know any French. I don't know any. What's le mur de l'Alimentation?
The wailing
wall. In other words, In other words, we could have lost our independence, and even the Beit HaMikdash could have been destroyed, but Yerushalayim didn't have to be razed to the ground. There are different reasons for different things.
Same thing over here. What do you think? The Nevi'im were just talking about idolatry, 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 and Jews are running around all over the place with stupid gadgets made out of gold and silver. You kidding me? Get out of here. Give me a break. We're not so stupid. From the moment that Avraham Avinu shattered the idols, he shattered the idols. We are a people who stood up throughout all of history against idolatry. We weren't a pagan, we weren't a heathen people. If there was any paganism or heathenism, it was always some kind of an outside influence. Either by the wives of Shlomo that came in, or by any Zebel. But the average Jew, you give me, that went to Daven three times a day, when he'd spit, when he would say, Oleinu, what are you talking about? You think we're a bunch of Mishugoyim? We weren't Mishugoyim. We weren't Mishugoyim. And we walk around, of course, with this great sense of self-importance. Why, we never bow down to any idols. But those stupid Jews in the times of the Shoftim and Beit First Beis, I mean, what are you talking about? What a complete misreading of history. Me as under the Kliegermensch, you understand? We're the great intelligent ones. And those dumb Jews, you understand, who are closer to Sinai, who had Nevi'im, and Moshe, and Yoshua, and Yeshayahu, and Shmuel, and they walked around bowing down for every stupid idol. It can't be. The imagination simply can't accept it. That there was a certain degree, a very, very small degree, yes. That there was idolatry of a different nature. Oh, yes, there was. Anybody who can't see that in March of 1997, same thing. We don't have a single friend in the world, including the U.S. We have only one friend. Our best friend is the Rabbeinu Shlomo. Ani l'dodi, v'dodi li, kol dodi do fake. My beloved is knocking on the hearts of Klal Yisrael. What are you talking about? Clinton! We can't build houses in our city, Yerushalayim, because Clinton holds that it's bad. What are you talking about? We have friends. We don't have friends. Not confidence building. By the way, if he dies at 10... 15 or 10:16, then 10:22, then you know it was because of it was my curse. It was my curse. What are you talking about? That was the real problem. And when you see it in that light, you should know every one of the Nevi'im is speaking to us today. If all that the Nevi'im are talking about, no, the Gemara says that there were 1,200,000 Nevi'im that arose to Klal Yisrael. Nevuah Shehutzra. Oh boy, this is a beautiful proof. I got it. Gemara Masechet Megillah says there were 1,600,000 Nevi'im that arose to Klal Yisrael. What happened to all of their prophecy? Says the Gemara. Nevuah Shehutzra Chol Doros. Prophecy that was necessary for all generations was written. Prophecy that wasn't necessary for all generations was not written. So I'm asking you, if Yeshayahu, Yirmiyahu, Yechezkel, Hoshea, and the rest are talking about idolatry, idolatry has ceased by us that much, you'll admit that it has ceased by us for the last 2,500, 3,000 years. So what do you mean this prophecy was needed for all generations? To talk to us about idolatry? I don't bow down to any gadgets. I don't worship anybody except for God. You know why all the prophecies of Hutzrich Huladoros were necessary for all generations? Because when the Nevi'im talked about idolatry, they meant placing our faith, our trust, or even our confidence in any power outside of the relation. That's how they deserve it. And boy, do we need to know that right now. I tell you, if all the medicine I've taken hasn't gotten rid of my cold, you did it.
Think of all the adrenaline.
Oh, the adrenaline.
Rabbi.
Yes.
Could you
talk
literally about people
who are going
to
religion? What
about...
Let's say that there are psukim in Daniel. And in these psukim in Daniel, it seems that there's unfortunately going to be a process through which many Jews are going to... be lost from the Jewish people.
and only the hardy and the strong will remain. Those are frightening psukim. The fact is, it does not apply only to our day. It really applies to the last 1,000 or 2,000 years. By natural birth, we should have been most probably 500 million to a billion people today. We lost throughout every generation, we always lost people. And we've certainly lost more in the last 50 to 60 years than in any. You've heard my cheshbon that I've made time and time again. We have lost tens of millions over the last 50 to 60 years. Tens of millions.
Salo Baron.
Yes.
Once made this kind of asking if we had the same birth and the grace as the people among whom we live, it would seem that only China would be larger because we would somewhat overwhelm India.
We were around longer than everybody else, so therefore, by virtue of that, we should be a people close. Yeah, I was ready to go for 500 million.
That's
so you tell me.
This article.
I'm going to read it. Okay. We tend to forget that only 14 million of those 2.5 billion, about 0.5%, are Jews. No one trying for a diplomatic solution to the problem of Jerusalem can afford to shrug off this demographic reality. It is significant because no solution for Jerusalem can survive unless it is acceptable to the vast majority of members of other religions, to those who also focus on this splendid city. I got to read this and really be my eye in it. I'm going to go through it. Yeah, yeah. William Sapphire. By the way, when I got the Monday Jerusalem Post, I said Shechianu v'kimanu v'giyanu lasman hazeh, because there was a note in the Jerusalem Post saying the list of who are going to be the commentators in the New York Times. And the Sunday, William Sapphire has been moved to Sunday. And if William Sapphire is Sunday, then we're going to have him on Monday. And yes, his Sunday article was build. Go ahead and build. It's your city. Build. That's right. No, I think the responsibility is going to be ours.